I want to speak to you on the subject of touch not the unclean thing. God has blessed us beyond measure. And there are conditions upon that blessing that we need to be very careful not to let slip. God wants us to be His hands and His feet, to reach out to the lost. He wants us to make a difference in the world. But we have to come out of the world and be different from the world in order to make that difference. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne, Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your great love that you have for us. And Lord, I pray that we might take hold of this wisdom that you are giving us through your word today and cause us to come out from among the world and be separate. Not touch the uncleanness of the world. Guide us, Lord. Remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Open our understanding that we may know your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God tells us that we must differentiate between the world and us. Now, folks, it is easy for us to gravitate toward the world. Amen? The things of the world are attractive to our sinful nature. And so we have to make a conscious effort to build a wall around us of grace so that we do not slide into the world and begin to be partaker of the world. One of the experiments we used to do in science was to take hot water and cold water, equal volume, and put them together, and you could determine what the resultant temperature was going to be. It would be halfway between the temperature of the hot and the cold. And so many times, what we see happening is God's people who love the Lord and worship the Lord, when they mix and mingle with the world, cool off. We have a cooling down. Instead of us bringing the church up to the temperature that we're supposed to be and bring the world up with us, we just come down to their level. And what happens, we begin to see that there's not any real difference between us and the world. That's what God is talking about here. He says that there are certain steps we have to take in order for us to be effective in ministry. There are certain things that we have to do in order for us not to be a part of the problem. You see, every one of us as Christians are either a part of the solution to the world's problems or we're part of the problem because we pull down. Did you know that a Christian who lives in sin does a lot more damage to the world than a lost person who lives in sin? Because we're the salt. And we affect people one way or the other. You can't avoid that. You're either pulling them down or you're lifting them up, depending on how you live your life. We've got to differentiate. Look at verse 14 through 16 again. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That means that we're not to be married to unbelievers. We're not to be in close relation as far as our friendships with unbelievers. Our purpose with unbelievers is to lead them to Christ. He says, for what fellowship, now there's your key word, hath righteousness with unrighteousness? and what communion hath light with darkness? Now, that's where we start. If we're going to differentiate, the first thing we have to do is separate our lifestyles. We don't have our bosom buddies, our close friends, from the world. If we do, we're going to start gravitating toward the world. You say, well, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to have friends from the world, but they're not going to affect me. Well, that's just foolishness. Everything affects. You know, you could take this boiling hot water and this ice cold water, pour them together, and the hot water say, I'm just going to stay hot while I'm in this cold water. It's not going to happen, is it? We know what happens is that they fuse together and they reach a common temperature, and that's it. That's what happens when we mix and mingle with the world. And so God tells us we have to first be careful who we fellowship with. You see, now we can't avoid being around lost people. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the people that you make heroes in your life, the people that you look up to, the people that you fellowship with, you visit with. Those people will pull you down if they are lost and if they're living in sin. And I'll tell you something else. Don't fellowship with Christian people who are living in sin. They'll pull you down too. You see, you have to have friends who are going to lift you up, and you're going to lift them up. He goes on to say, what concord hath Christ with Belial? God and the devil do not mix. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? A believer and an unbeliever is not going to be able. You're going to have to find a common ground if you try to fellowship with an unbeliever. You're going to have to give some. They're going to have to give some. That doesn't do anybody any good. Verse 16 says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now understand, if you are a truly born-again child of God, Jesus lives in your heart. Think about that. You go into places, Jesus goes with you. You practice sin, Jesus is there with you. That's dangerous ground, folks. Don't do that. Whenever we participate in any activity, Jesus is there. We're the temple of the living God. The Bible says, if any man defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy. Don't go there. Don't do that. Be very careful what you do as a Christian. You say, well, what are we talking about here? One thing is lewdness. I think one of the things that is destroying our culture is lewdness. Okay? Listen to what the Bible says here in Proverbs 11:22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Now, folks, that's going on in our culture right now. If you see somebody dressed like that, you can tell them there's a verse in the Bible about you and give them that verse. When a woman has beauty that God has given her, that beauty is not to be shared in a vulgar way. Whenever we raise our children to dress provocatively, we are sinning against them and against the culture. It is absolutely necessary, mothers, that you teach your daughters how to dress. And it is necessary, fathers, that you teach your sons how to avoid women who dress provocatively. You got to do it. Because, see, that's that middle ground that pulls people in. And so we have to be very, very careful about lewdness slipping into our families. You say, well, what's the big deal? It's just the style of the day. Who sets the style? Hollywood. There's nothing godly about Hollywood. Whenever we choose to follow Hollywood, we're going to get in trouble every time. So whenever we begin to give in on these points, what happens? Well, first, girls, let me tell you, you're going to attract the wrong boys. You don't want to marry somebody that's attracted to a lewd girl. You just don't want to do it. Because they're going to be a disappointment at very best and disaster at the worst. So, number one, that puts you on the wrong track. Then, boys who look for that kind of a girl, thinking that's beauty, are going to be terribly disappointed. You see, that's not just style. That's heart. Whenever a person is lewd in their dress, they are lewd in their heart. And you cannot trust a person like that. They will disappoint you. They will hurt you. They will destroy you, and they will destroy your culture. And so what we have to do is understand what God is saying here. If you take a diamond and you put that in a hog's nose, it means nothing to the hog. He's going to destroy the diamond. He's just going to waste it and destroy it. And he said it's the same thing if you have a beautiful girl and she has no discretion. It's going to destroy everything that God intended. Everything that's right and good, it's going to be destroyed. And so we need to understand that. And so remove lewdness. Now, folks, when you start removing lewdness, there's all kinds of lewdness. It gets into pornography. It gets into movies that are dirty movies. I had a young man tell me that he could watch R-rated movies and all the nudity, and it didn't bother him. Well, I hope that's not true. Because if it is, there's a serious problem with him. All right? Be careful what you let into your mind. Your mind is like a computer. Garbage in gets garbage out. You cannot allow your mind to be filled with garbage and then live godly in Christ Jesus. People wonder how they end up with all this filth in their mind. It's because it's a daily intake of that garbage through the internet, through pornography, through television, whatever. You have to turn that off. You have to get rid of it. Because if you don't, it will destroy you and everything you love. You say, well, I couldn't live without that. You can't live with it. You see, we deceive ourselves. And what we have to do is lower our standard. Lower, 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 lower. Put up with it. But that doesn't work. You got to get rid of that stuff. Put it from you. You know what I'm talking about. You see, it's not like you don't know it's bad. If you're a Christian, you know it's bad. If you don't know it's bad, you're lost as a haint. See, don't try to say, I don't know it's bad. What it is I don't want to give it up. And you've got to give it up. He says here that we are not to practice any level of lewdness. Then there's the problem of lawlessness. Listen to what Proverbs 11, 19 through 21 says. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Listen to this, folks. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. A froward heart is one that's looking for evil. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now understand what he's saying here. When culture changes the rules, and they say, well, this is okay now. You know, those old fogies, those old people, they didn't believe you could do this stuff, but it's okay now. We're in a newer generation. We're more enlightened. We understand all these things that God says, look, you don't change my rules. Though hand join in hand, everybody can agree. we can all take a vote and say, well, this is going to be all right now, and it won't be wrong anymore. We all agree on it. God says, I still overrule. The sinner shall not go unpunished. Everybody can raise their hand and vote, but I get the final verdict, God says. And in our lifestyle, we demonstrate what we believe in our heart. Now, this is important, folks. Our lifestyle demonstrates what we believe. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 11 says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You see, it can be done. God does not just throw something out there and say, good luck with it. He says, here's your alternative. What you pursue is what you're going to get. If you are pursuing trying to get ahead in life, trying to have more toys, more things, and you're going in that direction, the end of that's destruction. Notice what he says, you pierce yourself through with many sorrows and a snare. That's not the life I'm looking for. He says, on the other hand, if we seek after godliness, then God is delighted in that, and we have that peace of God that passes understanding. Now, which one? You may not like the road, but the results you're going to love. You see, if we're going to make a difference in the world as individual Christians, we have to make some choices. Amen? God says, look, it doesn't just happen by wishing. You have to set your sights on what you want to do, where you want to be, and then go there. If you wanted to be, let's say that you decide today, I'm going to be godly. I'm going to live for Jesus. Where should you start? You need to wear your Bible out. That's the instruction manual. That's where it's at. Study God's Word. And number two, learn to pray to get God's grace. The Bible says that we can have boldness to come before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Learn how to pray effectively. Then you need to fellowship with God's people. You need to be in church every time the doors are open. So I don't think that's necessary. How's it working for you? See, it's important. We don't have services just for the fun of it. It's important. Now, when we begin to do that, I had a man come in to for counseling one time, and he said, Pastor, I've got this terrible sin in my life, and I cannot get rid of it. I know I'm a Christian, but I just can't get rid of this sin. He said, what can I do? I said, there's three things you need to do. He got a pencil and paper. He's going to write out. I said, number one, you need to study your Bible every day. Number two, you need to learn how to pray effectively. Number three, you need to be in church every time the door's open. He just lays his pencil down. He said, that's it? I don't know where he thought I had a magic wand in my desk, what I was going to tell him, but he didn't want to hear that. That's too simple. But you see, if you will do those things systematically, it'll change your life. If you sin, every time you sin, it changes who you are just a little. Do you know that? You're not the same person after you sin as you were before you sin. And the next time you sin, it changes you a little bit more. By the same token, when you study God's Word every day and you pray and you learn how to effectively pray and get God's grace and you fellowship with God's people and you surround yourself with God's people and you depart from all those that would lead you astray, it'll change you a little bit every day. Which way you want to go, see? If a person knows this, and then they turn back to the old, they don't study the Bible, they don't pray, they don't fellowship with God's people, what they're saying is, I love darkness rather than light. You see, you can be ignorant and not know the way. And God says it'd be better for you not to know the way of righteousness than after you know it to turn from the holy commandment that's given to you. God requires us to choose. God says you set your sights where you want to end up, and I'll tell you how to get there. And there has to be a difference between us and the world. There's some things in life we're going to have to discard. It's very important. Sometimes we have to go through the house and look and see if there's any videos that are bad. Burn those things. If you've got magazines that are leading you astray, burn those things. If you have television shows that cause you to sin, get rid of it. See, we've got to take serious control of our life. If the internet is leading you to sin, get rid of the internet. So how can somebody live without the internet? I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid, we didn't have electricity. You can live without the internet. It's harder. But I'll tell you what. The wages of sin is death. You can't ignore what the world is doing to you. It'll destroy you. Listen to what verse 17 says. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If you know it's unclean, you can't touch it. It's as simple as that. I don't care how inconvenient it would be to get rid of what is leading you into sin, get rid of it. You see, you can't say, well, I just couldn't live without television. I just couldn't live without whatever. If it's leading you into sin, you best live without it. Bottom line. Or it will destroy you. God doesn't make these rules for his children so that he can punish them. He makes these rules to deliver them from the road they're on. You see, it's a slippery slope when you deal with sin. You get so far into sin, you can't get out of it because you become a different person. And all of a sudden, you're on your road to destruction and you don't have any way out. So God's trying to pull us out. He says, come out from amongst them and be separate, saith the Lord. Deliver yourself from this untoward generation. Do it while you can. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Stop. I'm not going to listen to that. Then I'm going to tell you, there's an end. And that end is not good. We have to be careful about idolizing. Setting up something in our life that we give so much respect to that we won't put it down. We won't leave it. Listen to Proverbs 6, 20 through 29. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instructions are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Now understand what he's saying here. If you get some hot coals, and you're going to go out and cook on your grill, and you get all these hot coals and you put them in your shirt to carry them out there, you're going to catch on fire. Now you say, well, that's a duh. Here's what he's saying. Don't think you can dabble with sin and it not affect you. Don't think, well, I can look at this stuff, it doesn't bother me. I can participate in this. I can have these evil friends. They won't bother me. They won't affect me. He said, yeah, put some fire in your clothes and see if it catches on fire. You see, we make decisions that put us in situations that we can't get out of. When people say, I just can't get over this sin in my life, it just overwhelms me. There's one or two things true. Either they have already gone over the top, they've already made the choice, or they're lost. You see, God's grace is sufficient. It will overcome. But when we love sin, we just resist God's grace and go on sin. And so God is inviting you this morning through me to come out of that. You can be free, but you've got to make steps in that direction. There's some things you've got to discard. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Because it's affecting who you are. Now, you say, well, you going to make us a list? No. You know what bothers you. I'm saying, what bothers you? What leads you into sin? Get rid of it. I don't care what it is. If it's your coffee pot, throw it away. Whatever leads you into sin, get rid of it. That's not legalism, folks. Legalism is where I give you the list that leads me into sin and tell you get rid of it. That's legalism. What leads you into sin is what you've got to deal with. And what leads me into sin is what I've got to deal with. And if we fail to do that, we're asking for trouble. And it will get us. No imitating. Well, the world tries to put a different focus on what life is supposed to be. Amen. This is the real good life right here. You got to have these certain toys. You can't be happy unless you've got these things. And some people have to have two of them to be happy, you know, or three. And they set this whole life up for us to shoot for. But God said, no, that's not where it's at. If you've got food and clothing, be content with that. You know what I have found out? Life is much more pleasant when I'm satisfied with whatever God gives me than if I'm trying to attain something that God didn't want me to have. Ephesians 4:17 through 32 says this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now you see what he's saying there? Here's your blueprint. He said all those things that the world say is so important and so good and all that, put that away from you. The world will never do you good, and God will never do you bad. If you follow God's rules, you're going to come out fine. If you follow the world's rules, it will destroy you. Now, if you look at the results, before you make your choice, everybody is going to choose the good life with God. But the problem is, the devil will tell you, you can get by with this. You can do this. Nothing will happen. You've done it before. Nothing has happened. That's like somebody jumping out of a 20-story building, and every floor they go by and say, it's all right so far. There's an end to that. And there's an end to living in the world. When we begin to imitate the world, we begin to act like the world and dress like the world and talk like the world, pretty soon we are the world. Because we begin to change into them. Second John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 say that we have to have no invitation to the lost things into our life. You know, it's one thing, there's a certain amount of the world you can't avoid. But God says don't invite it in. You see, sometimes we want to go out and look for it rather than having it look for us. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Look what he's saying there. If you accept the world and the wrong of the world, then you become a part of that. You laugh at the jokes of the world. It's hard to ever take it serious after that. God wants us to be different. Here's God's design for you, and that is purity. God's design is laid out in verse 18. He says, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to have such a close relation, just like in the family. We can go to God just as easily as we can go to our earthly father, our mother, because he wants us to be in that kind of fellowship and relationship with him. So how do we do that? It begins with purity. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, says this, whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now notice what he's saying. He says, don't let your beauty be outward beauty. Work on the purity of the heart. When we have a pure heart, that is where the real beauty is at. And when we dress modestly, and when we act modestly, and when we are in fellowship with God's people, God then will recognize our purity and bless it. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20 gives us a principle to live by. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The sin of fornication, the Greek word is porneia. It covers the whole gamut of all sexual sin. And when we are involved in that sort of a sin, it changes who we are. God says, you got to put that from you. Every sin you do is without the body. But the sin of fornication is against your own body. And what does he mean by that? It will destroy who you are. And God says, that's dangerous. Stay away from it. And our practice is extremely important. You see, we can have the ideals. We can have the whole formula for godly living. We've got to practice godly living. We've got to do it. Verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5 says this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let me break that down for you. The natural thing for the child of God is to walk in the Spirit. That's what happens naturally. We have to choose otherwise. If we choose to walk away from God and out from under His grace and participate in sin, then we're in the flesh. And what manifests itself is all these things of the flesh. But if we, through the Spirit, kill those things and come out from amongst them and be separate, then we walk in the Spirit and our life is abundant. Jesus said, these things have I written unto you that you might have joy. Not as the world gives, but as I give. You see, Jesus wants you to have joy. And the only way you're going to have joy over the long haul of life is to do it His way. Or you may have fun for a little while, but then you're going to crash. And you'll find it's very difficult after the crash to pick up the pieces and straighten your life out then. It can be done, but it's very difficult. The best thing you can do with your life is to live right in the center of God's will. I've been at this a long time. I'm going to tell you, there is no better life. I don't care what fun you think you're going to miss out on. The joy is worth it. God says, come out from amongst them and be separate. The world will lead you into sin. Very subtly. It starts by dropping out of church. Maybe you miss a Wednesday night. You miss a Sunday night. And you don't read your Bible every day. Once or twice a week. You know why? It's not important in your mind. You're not fellowshipping with God's people. And sin will separate you from your prayer life. Somebody said one time, studying the Word of God will separate you from sin, or sin will separate you from studying the Word of God. You say, well, that doesn't seem like a big deal to me. Those are the things that the Christian life are built upon. That's where it starts, and that's where it ends. There is no magic wand. It's a choice. If you choose to give yourself totally and completely to the Lord, and you read His Word, you say, how much do I read? As much as you need to read to stay out of trouble. You may have to have a whole lot of the Word on the front end if you've been off in sin. Get in church every time the doors are open. Pray all the time. Take this seriously, because it is. And put your whole heart into it. And come out from among the world. Be separate. Say, well, I can't live the Christian life while I'm doing this. Don't do that. I can't live the Christian life while I have this influence in my life. Get rid of it. It's that important. Jesus said, if your hand offends you, if your hand stands in the way of you making it into the Christian life, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. That's how serious this is. This generation has been dumbed down. There's so many religions that are false in the world that just salve the conscience. You've got liberty to do whatever you want to do. Have fun. God says, that's not where the fun's at. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it comes through a personal commitment to righteousness and doing whatever it takes to stay there. Whatever it takes. Because there's nothing more important in all this world. If your job stands between you and righteousness, get rid of your job. Any influence in your life that keeps you from being right in the center of God's will, get rid of it. Because that's the most important thing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come before your throne, Lord, I'm made to realize that our world is a horrible place for Christians. But Lord, you have given us a shelter. We can hide under the shadow of the Almighty. And your grace is sufficient to cover us. And Lord, I pray that your word would not return void. Lord, I pray that it would strike a chord in the hearts of anyone who has let a little bit of the world into their life and cause us to come out of the world and be separate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.